Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this amazing Tuesday, April 7th, 2020. What in the heck's going on, right? Here in the LA area, it's a little rainy, cloudy, it's 61 degrees, and we're all trying to get active. Yesterday, I think I finally hit the physical wall. I had been exercising last week pretty well, and then I think Monday, and then Monday, I wasn't active. So today, I'm getting ready to go and do a nice workout, and because I don't know about you, but we got to move our bodies, right? So I hope you're well. Leave me a comment below. Let me know how you're doing. Say hello to me. Leave me a comment. I'll put it on the screen so we can all encourage each other and be here connected on this day, Tuesday. But talking about how different personalities handle stress, how different personality types handle stress. So you may know your personality type. You may not know what your type is. It doesn't really matter if you do or not, because I'm going to walk you through some of the things that you may relate to as far as personality, and especially how you handle stress, meaning kind of what you tend to be doing these days under the stressful situation and stressful circumstances, and then of course to learn how you can go against the flow or what's natural to you. My guess is by now you've discovered a few bad habits that we all can tend to fall into, especially when isolated or you don't have the freedom that you normally have, or maybe you're worried about being sick or about someone who might get sick or about your job. And so I want to walk you through a few of these things that I have prepared here for you that will hopefully help us understand a little bit about how we all handle stress and what we do during stressful times, and then how to grow. So let me walk you through these 9 personality types on something that I've been studying for about 10 years called the Enneagram. The Enneagram is a spiritual personality test. You can take this test at enneagraminstitute.com, or you can walk through this with a spiritual director, someone like me who may know a little bit more about this and can help you understand kind of more about this. So 9 personality types, and I'm going to walk you through these 9 types so that you can maybe begin to even see who you are. So number 1 is the reformer, 2 is the helper, 3 is the achiever, 4 is the individualist, 5 the investigator, 6 the loyalist, 7 the enthusiast, 8 the challenger, and 9, the peacemaker. So I wonder if you can already kind of get a feel for who you are. So once again, the reformer, the helper, the achiever, the individualist, the investigator, the loyalist, the enthusiast, the challenger, and the peacemaker. Now, we all, as people of God, as people created in the image of God, we all have some aspects of these. So all of us are enthusiasts and helpers. We all are investigators and peacemakers because we all have the image of God in us. But without a doubt, we all, after studying this for about 10 years and reading maybe, 1,000 or 2,000 pages of this and studying with different experts in this, there's definitely one that we all tend to lean towards. So let me explain to you what each one of these is about, and maybe you can identify who you are. So number 1, the reformer, is the person who is a black and white person, very pragmatic. Integrity and honesty is their number 1 concern. The reformer is one who sees things in a very, as I said, black and white kind of view. You know, they look at things and they know what the right thing to do is, and they are motivated by doing the right thing, by the rules, by doing what you're supposed to do. They're rule followers, you could say, and very beautiful people that can, as it says, reform life, reform situations. Number 2, the helper, as it says, it's someone who is really motivated by being of assistance to other people. They are motivated by making sure that other people are taken care of. They're the kind of people that when you move into a neighborhood, if it's, let's say, a bunch of homes, they will come over to your house, ding dong, and bring you brownies. So that helper spirit is what the two is known for. Number three, the achiever. These are people that are very star driven. They are people that are the stars of our culture and of our society. People that really want to get things done. They don't have a lot of time for emotions or for a lot of those kind of more gooey things, because they really value fixing, getting things done, and looking good while doing it. Number four, the individualist, or sometimes called the artist, the creative. These are people that really embody beauty. They embody uniqueness. They see the world as a place that needs more beauty, and they feel that God has given them a unique lens through which to see life, and they feel like they've been given beauty by God, and so they bring that to the world. And they want to be unique while doing it, not fitting in, not just being like everyone else, not just blending in, but being unique while adding beauty and uniqueness to the world. So that's the four. Number five, the investigator. The investigator is someone who likes to do research. They are people that are what they call also they're in the head triad, along with the five, the six, and the seven. These are people that they will listen more to what their minds tell them. They're not so heart-driven or gut-driven as the other people are. They are more driven by data, by knowledge. They want to know the facts. Give me the facts, please, and I will then be able to make the right decision. Number six are the loyalists. These are people that are truly committed to relationships, to maybe a system, to a organization, to an institution. The loyalists are faithful types. They are people who want to establish a sense of security and safety around them. And they desire to have peace and safety, as I said, in their lives, so they can feel that security that they long for, and then be able to give that to somebody else. Number seven is the enthusiast. And just as the word says, these are the fun bunch of the Enneagram. These are people who enjoy the fun things in life, the joy in life. These are people that you could say deal with FOMO, the fear of missing out. They enjoy adventure, new opportunities. They also, like the three, don't like to dwell on all the negative feelings or feelings in general, because they want to continue to enjoy life and to bring enthusiasm to other people. The eight, the challenger. Notice, by the way, that there's a color code to all these. Eight, nine, and one. I'll go through those in a second. The eight is the challenger. These are individuals who, they call them the natural born leaders. These are people who take charge in a situation. They are ones that will tend to be a little bossy. They will tell you what to do. They will help you understand what you need to fix in your life. And they're not doing it in any mean kind of way. They, in fact, want to help and to clarify things for others. And then the nine, which I have a unique heart for the nine. I'm not a nine, but I think the nines are very beautiful people. The nine are the peacemakers. They are people who value harmony, unity, equality. They are great negotiators, people who love to hear both sides of the argument and to find consensus. And notice that the nine is at the top of the Enneagram. And notice there's a triangle between the nine, the three, and the six. A lot of nuance here that I probably won't go into in this particular show, but maybe in future videos I will talk about that. But the nine is, some people call him or her the seer, the person who is kind of seeing the whole picture for what it is and sometimes have insight into what's happening. Other people believe that the nine is one who they can ooze or bless the rest of the system around them with their peace. and so the peacemaker. So those are the nine types. Now, before I get into stress and what each type does with stress and how to then overcome that stress, especially these days, let me walk you through the colors of these nine types, okay? So the red, as you see, the 8, 9, and the 1, they call those the gut triad or the instinctual types. The 8, 9, and the 1, the challenger, peacemaker, and reformer are people who they're driven by their gut. You know how people will often say to you, follow your gut? Well, if you're not an 8, 9, and 1, you probably don't really know what that even means. But if you're an 8, 9, and or 1, you definitely know what it means to follow your gut, because that's how you view life, how you process information, how you show up in the world. The 2, the 3, and the 4, the green circles there, they call those the heart triad. Triad, of course, means three. The heart triad, the helper, the achiever, the individualist, they're driven by their heart. So for these types, the phrase that they love is follow your heart. Now, sometimes they might be afraid of their heart because they don't always know how to trust their heart. Or maybe back to the 8, 9, and the 1, they might be afraid of their gut because their gut might make them feel too angry. For the 2, 3, and the 4, that heart might make them feel ashamed. And so the 2, 3, and the 4 deal with shame. 8, 9, and 1 deal with anger. So the 2, 3, and the 4, they are, as I said, the heart triad. They are driven by their heart. They wear their heart on their sleeve, as we could say. And then the 5, the 6, and the 7, the blue circles, they call those the head triad, as in your head. And so they are people who, as I said with the 5 especially, they want the data. Just the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts. I don't want to mess with heart. I don't want to mess with gut. In fact, I don't even trust those people. I want the data. I want to decide life based on what my head tells me. So for these types, you would say, listen to your head or make sure that you think the right things. So that's a little summary there of the nine types. So leave me a comment. Which of these do you think you are? Are you a 1, a 5, an 8? Are you in the heart triad, the greens? Are you in the head triad or in the gut triad, which is the red. Okay, now let's get into the topic of this video, which is how to handle stress or what each type does under stress. Now, this is where all these arrows come into play. So for example, you see that the 1, let's just start with the 1, you see an arrow going down towards the 4. And then you see an arrow coming in from the 7, okay? So if you identify your type, you can kind of begin to see all these arrows. So you can say that, okay, so I have a comment here from Ham. Let me get this here. That's a broadcast. All right, combination. So tell me which of those are you thinking are the combination. And as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, we all exemplify or have aspects of all nine. And then if you have what's here, Hammerstrand, saying a combination, most likely you're talking about what we call the wing. So let's say you're a combination of 5 and 6. Then that would be perhaps a 5 with what we call a 6 wing. So anyway, I'd be interested in knowing what you would consider are your particular combinations. Okay, so let me keep going in terms of the stress points. Okay, this is very important. So now, the stress of the 1, as I said, you see the arrow, right, going down towards the 4 and then coming in from the 7. So when under stress, which again, because of this virus and all this stuff, I want to talk about this. The 1, if you identify with the 1, depending on the situation. Yes, okay, exactly. So yeah, and so I would love to know which of the types, depending on the situation, do you identify with? And that would be very important to know as well. Situation, work, exactly, yeah. So I can totally understand that. So yeah, if you can, I would love to know which of the numbers do you seem to identify with? And then maybe we can go deeper with that. Okay, so let's see. The reformer. The reformer seems to be, excuse me there, I haven't been talking enough, being inside my My peacemaker, exactly. Okay, great. Okay, so the peacemaker, very good. Okay, so the peacemaker with the kids, exactly. So that's very, very good. So you might be in a place, especially right now, right? Talk about stress. I don't know if, you know, in your neck of the woods, where if you are at home in a lockdown, so certainly right now you are being forced. We all are being, I don't want to paint it negatively. My point is, we're all having to practice a lot of peace with kids at homes these days, right? So that makes a lot of sense to me. So that's the nine. Okay. So, and then maybe at work, maybe you can give me some thoughts on what shows up when you're at work or when you are maybe out at the gym or something like that. Okay, so let me go through the reformer here. Well, you know what? Let's stick to the nine, being that we have a peacemaker perhaps here among us. So the peacemaker. So look at the arrow for the nine. The nine goes to six under stress. So the way you read the arrows is like this. The nine goes, yeah, exactly. Huh? The nine goes to the six under stress. Yeah, exactly. Huh? A little emoji there these days. My goodness. Our kids are older, so that one isn't as much of a stress point for us. But I remember when they were younger. Wow. Especially at summertime, during summers. Okay, so the peacemaker, let's go to the nine. So the peacemaker, if perhaps you are a nine, I'd love to know your first name, by the way, Hammerstrand. I'd love to just know your name. I can address you properly. My name is David, by the way. Thank you for being here on this broadcast. Okay, so the nine goes to six. So under stress, this might help to identify kind of if you are a nine. The nine under stress becomes fearful and anxious, like a unhealthy six. And so the nine normally is very much at peace, right? But under stress, they tend to become very scared, like an unhealthy six or like a low or lower six. And so whereas the loyalist normally is someone who is faithful and committed and who provides a lot of stability for others, the nine under stress, Marcus. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Pleasure to meet you, Marcus from Sweden. Excellent. Thank you so much for being here, Marcus from Sweden. Awesomeness. And so the nine goes to six under stress. So you would know if you are a nine if this is something you're experiencing. Now, all of us are experiencing fear and anxiety these days, right? But the nine under stress, as the arrow says, tends to go to the six, to the lower levels of the six, which is fearfulness. They begin to wonder what is going to happen. And if they don't catch themselves, they can lose that natural peacemaker gift that's been given to them by God. And they begin to become very concerned about what may happen with this virus or with their jobs or with their kids. And so that's how you would know that you're a nine. Now, what does the nine do when they are integrated or when they are at their best? So this is another way to know if you're a nine. So that's where the arrow goes. See, the three goes to the nine. So that means that the nine, when integrated or when at peace or at their best, they get things done like a healthy achiever. They look at tasks in front of them and they go after them. They get that laundry done. They go and take the kids out for that walk. They will work from home and not waste time. They will avoid procrastination or sleeping too long, and they will get up, work out, and take a shower and fix the car. Or, as I said, teach the kids math or share with them stories of their childhood. They would get things done as a healthy achiever. So that's the nine. So let's keep going. The one, tell me, by the way, Marcus, if that clicks for you, if that makes sense, as perhaps you are a nine. Okay, the reformer. The reformer under stress, again, looking at the arrows, the outward arrows, goes to a four. So normally, a reformer is very black and white. And they are not worried about, well, is this unique to me? Is this how I should think about things? You know, am I? I'm not looking at what other people are doing. The reformer is very much of a solopreneur, we could call them. But under stress, they go towards the four, an unhealthy four, where they are obsessed almost with what other people are doing, with being very, very, almost like a perfectionist gone wrong. They want to micromanage other people. They become an unhealthy four who is so like almost like a woe is me type. They, you know, someone who would say, you know, I am just the only one here who does the right thing. Only I am suffering. I am the only one in this house who takes care of the dishes, who cares for the kids. Nobody helps me. So under stress, the one loses some of that just self kind of made person, and they begin to, as I said, feel like there's a woe is me kind of attitude, like an unhealthy four. Okay, let me keep going because we have a lot of stuff here to go through. The two, the helper. So Marcus says, yes, perhaps. Okay, that could be. So now the two, under stress, the arrow goes outbound to the eight. So normally the helper, who's a very kind person, they go to eight under stress, to an unhealthy eight. And I have some friends that are unhealthy eights, or excuse me, twos, especially these days. They become almost mean. They lose that compassion, and they express it in a very controlling way. So maybe if you forgot to call them, especially right now, and you knew that they were feeling lonely, or it was their birthday, or that they needed some groceries, and you forgot to help them, let's say it's an older parent, they will let you have it, like an unhealthy eight. Their stress, which normally they will ignore, it will lead them to be controlling, to tell you in a mean, almost heavy, controlling way that you should have been there for them. And so the two tends to go to the eight under stress. The three under stress, they become an unhealthy nine. Again, the outbound arrow. The three goes to an unhealthy nine under stress. So right now, these days, we are all under a lot of stress. If you are a three, you may be one who tends to procrastinate and sleep in too long and ignore all of your responsibilities. Again, everyone's dealing with this right now, but there's a uniqueness to each type that I'm trying to identify. The challenger at work, pushing and encouraging people, solution focus. Yeah, that makes sense. And that's why, as I said, you know, it normally, if you are close to identifying your type, they normally would be next to each other. So it makes sense that you would identify with 8, 9. It would be less likely to say 9 and 5. Most of the time, as I mentioned, it's the people or the types, we call them to your wings. So you might be a 9 wing 8, you might be a 9 wing 1, so, or you might be an 8 wing 9. So we'd have to, you know, have a longer conversation to kind of understand. But you definitely, after 10 years of studying this and being a spiritual director to hundreds of people, there's no doubt that we all identify with one type, the strongest. So let me keep going. So the three goes to the nine under stress. So you might be falling asleep at the wheel, quote unquote. You know, the laundry's getting stacked. Or if you're a man, you might just not want to shower or shave, or you're not doing your work, or you're going to bed late at night. You're ignoring things. You become an unhealthy nine, and you kind of lose that sense of achievement and of accomplishing things. The stress overwhelms you to the point that you're just kind of checking out. Okay, number four, the individualist. The individualist, outbound arrow goes to the helper. And you would think, oh, that's a great thing, right? Well, the individualist, again, remember, they are very much the beauty people, right? They want to add beauty and art and uniqueness to the world. But under stress, they become an unhealthy two, which you could say is the codependent type. And so an unhealthy four, or a four under stress, will tend to feel abandoned by those closest to them more than usual. They will worry that nobody's there for them right now. They wonder, is anybody going to even notice if I get sick? They want to know that everyone, their kids, if they have kids or if they're a younger person, that their friends are right there next to them, telling them that, hey, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. I'm here supporting you. They become they become obsessed with the people in their lives. They can feel abandoned. They can feel like nobody cares, that nobody's helping them to survive this crisis. So the four goes to an unhealthy two. The five, okay, let's continue here. The five, who is they call this person the investigator. The five tends to go to the seven under stress. So again, the outbound arrow. So the five, who normally is a linear thinker, a clear thinker, more of a data-driven person, under stress, they will become like an unhealthy seven. Very reckless. Someone who is, they're throwing, caution to the wind or caution to the wind. They're just saying, well, you know, forget it anyway. We're all going to die anyway. So what's the point of all this? I'm going to just give in to my base needs and just give in to whatever habits, whatever things that bring me pleasure. I'm going to run away from all responsibility. I'm going to just do whatever the heck I want to do. And because, hey, after all, the sky is falling, the end of the world is here. And so I might as well, like Solomon said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. And so the investigator, who normally is a very data-driven person, will go to the seven under stress, a lower level enthusiast. Okay, let's continue here. The six goes to the three under stress. So the six, who normally is a very loyal person under stress, as we all tend to be under these days, will go to the three. And so they will become an unhealthy three, someone who just is overdoing it. The workaholic, you could call it, the person who is so driven to accomplish that they forget that it's about stability, about love, about faithfulness, all the things that they naturally love to do. And so they will, when they feel stressed, they will want to do more than they're really capable of doing. They will work themselves to a pulp. They will become exhausted. They will accomplish more than they need to, and they will feel like it's not enough. And so the six tends to go to the unhealthy three under stress. The seven goes to, let's see where the arrows, goes to the one under stress. So the seven, normally a very carefree person, goes to the reformer under stress, the low side of the one. They become very rigid. They want to only do it their way. And so right now, if you are a seven, you might find yourself being very strict with your family, strict with yourself, strict with your children, strict with the maybe your employees or the people that you work with. You become a perfectionist, a overcritical perfectionist, someone who is wanting to tell everybody all the things that they're doing wrong, and you want to make sure that they all do things your way, and that's your way of controlling or handling stress. The eight, I think we started with a nine, right? So yeah, then the eight goes to five under stress. So this is the unhealthy five. So the eight goes to the over hyper data-driven person. They want to know every fact about this virus, all the statistics, who is dying, who's ill, how many people are sick in my city, is my neighbor sick, is the government doing the right thing, is the ambassador doing the right thing, is the president, you know. So they become this unhealthy five. Instead of them leading the way, or instead of them wanting to challenge the system, you could say they become very addicted to information, and they feel like perhaps that's how they will find peace, if they just know enough. And so the 8 goes to a 5 under stress. And then I think I started with a 9. The 9 goes to the 6 under stress. They become an unhealthy 6, very scared and anxious and fearful of life. And so these are the 9 types. I would love to know. Thank you again, Marcus, for your comments. But I would love to know if any of these particular types relate to you, if one of these makes sense in terms of how you process life, especially, as I said, how you're handling stress these days, because there's no doubt that there's a ton of stress and everyone is dealing with it differently. It's like grief. We all handle grief differently and there is no right way. But what we can do is to definitely know kind of what our tendencies are so that we can try to work against them or to try to minimize some of that. Yeah, so I'm a 7. Okay, what's up, Chavez? So 7 wing 8. So the 7, when under stress, he tends to go to the 1. So the 7 goes to an unhealthy 1, which is the reformer. So in other words, the 7 will tend to go to the perfectionist place. The unhealthy one will want to make sure that everyone's doing the right thing. They will, like they say, get into everybody's business. You know, they want to make sure that everyone is doing it the right way. And so the unhealthy one, the 7 goes to the unhealthy one under stress. The 7, who normally is very carefree and the kind of the life of the party, they will become vigilant. You know, they will go around with a clipboard making sure that everyone is doing the right things. And so what the 7 can do, wing 8, they can work with the 5. As you can see, the 7 normally is refreshed by the 5. And so that means that what the 7 can do to kind of counterbalance that perfectionist is to look for data, is to look for information and to share that information with other people. To say, hey, you know, here's what I have found. Here's some data that may be helpful. Here's something that I have been looking into, maybe a house we can buy or stocks that we can buy, or here's some information that is positive so that can help everyone else. And so the 7 can counterbalance that perfectionism by data that makes everyone else and themselves feel good about themselves. So you might say, hey, look at our exercising. We're becoming better. Look at our data. I've drawn this chart of how many push-ups we're doing or how many miles we're running or walking, and I've done some research, and look, we're all getting more fit. So the 7 can counterbalance that reformer with information and to resist that urge to go into everyone else's room or business and instead to research things so that they can feel more at peace and they can research information or things that they have been interested in. And they can, with that information, go back to being their joyful, enthusiastic self. So I hope that helps, man. Okay, my brother Chavez, anything for you, my brother. Thank you. So that's basically it, my dear friends. That's kind of what we all are doing here, trying to figure this out, right? It's quite the interesting time of life. And as I said, we all know ourselves and we all have our habits that we've been dealing with for our whole lives. And the Enneagram is something that is really helpful. As I said, I've been studying it for 10 years and helped many people to understand kind of more of who they are. I've worked on it on my own, in my own life, and continue to learn and research and read and pray over it. It's as someone said, a mentor of mine said, you know, the Enneagram is just a dim lens of who you are. It is not the complete picture, because the complete picture is only found in Christ. You and I are uniquely and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 says. So this is not something to die for or to say, okay, this is the law of the land. It's, as I said, it's a dimly lit filter that gives us a glimpse into who we are. And for some, Certainly for perhaps some types, this is more interesting than for others. But regardless of who you are and how you process life, I think these are helpful tools, similar to the Myers-Briggs, similar to the DISC, similar to StrengthsFinders. You know, if you're a leader type or if you're in a job where the boss or the HR department has you go through personality stuff, you're familiar with other tools that are out there. Obviously, we all know about the, what do they call it, the introvert-extrovert thing. So this is, out of all the tools, I've studied them all. I've taken all the tests, as I said, for 10 years or so. I've studied all the tools, obviously, in light of Scripture, in light of what God says about us, in light of the Psalms, in light of how we're uniquely and wonderfully made, that we're created in the image of God. And I believe, at least for me right now, that the Enneagram has the most insight than all the other tools. I would say maybe the second one that is somewhat helpful is the Myers-Briggs, and, you know, the ENFP, the INFJ, all of those kind of letters. And most people, though, that have a job at a hospital or at a school, they I think have them take mostly the DISC, right? And so I would love to know, if you're watching this now or after the fact, what test have you taken online or at work or maybe at church? Church obviously mostly talks about spiritual gifts. So it'd be interesting to compare this, which I have done, the Enneagram to, let's say, the fruits of the Spirit. I actually have a book by my good friend A.J. Sherrill, who was a pastor here in Long Beach, called The Enneagram and the Way of Jesus. And so you may want to go and check that out. Online at Amazon. I think they're delivering books still. And so you may want to check that out. A wonderful book. I preached at my church on that book, and it was a great tool. And then I have a small group that deals with the Enneagram and the Way of Jesus by my good friend AJ. He's now in Michigan at Rob Bell's old church, Marsh Hill. So, well, I'd love to know if you have any questions. What are your thoughts? What are your tendencies in terms of the Enneagram? Does this help? Have you heard about it? It is quite the tool these days. I've been into it for a long time, but there's no doubt that the last, I don't know, year or so, everyone, especially younger generations, seem to be talking about it. Some of the younger churches are definitely going through it. We went through it, I think it was in October of last year, November, and it was helpful. And then, as I said, I had a small group. If you would like spiritual direction, you can leave me a message, call me. I would love to sit with you and help you understand some of your tendencies and to walk you through some of these things. I'm available as a spiritual director, as a free, of course, resource, just to help you walk through the Enneagram and to help you understand a little bit more about how to handle stress and how to, of course, calm ourselves down through Scripture, through the Word of God, through worship, through prayer, but also understanding a little bit about ourselves. So thank you guys for your amazingness and for being created in the image of God. Thank you for being here, to Marcus, to my friend Chavez, to anyone else who may be watching this before or after. Thank you for being here, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.